In the beginning of time, there was an entity that moved about in the blackness of space. Lilakota called him Ion Tokahea, the first stone. From this was born one red woman, one red man. As they walked upon the earth, they were given a prayer. To this day, we walk with their prayer. Ho mitakuyepi, ti ikche ka tokahea okitahun. Chetan tanka tokahe kiena wowika yuha mani. We cho iena oloa unkahi. We bring you these songs with our truth.
To New Realities. My name is Alan Steinfeld, and I'm very happy to be here in South Dakota, a new home for my broadcast series here. And I'm with Dallas and Rebecca, Chief Eagle, at their beautiful conference center called All Nations Gathering Center. And we've just completed about a five-day retreat learning about the Lakota ways and mixing that in with some UFO talks. But really, this was a real immersion into the way your people have been living for a long time and the spirituality of what Lakota people stand for. And you talk about the mind, body, heart, and spirit being the four medicines, huh?
Yeah, we're all born with those four medicines. I don't care what color you are. Mm-hmm. And we believe that if you know how to use those four medicines, and you can be more of a complete person. But in this day and age, we do not teach people how to use their mind, how to control their own mind, how to use their own emotions and how to control them, how to use their body and how to control all the challenges we face there with our bodies. And we ask the children which one is the most important. Mm. And they tell us it's the spirit that's most important. And we will ask someone, does the buffalo have a spirit? Does the horse have a spirit? Does the eagle have a spirit? Do you have a spirit? Does a rock have a spirit? And the children will always say, yes, they do have a spirit.
Everything has a spirit.
Yes. And at the core of who we are, our elders must have talked about this in council centuries and centuries ago, about which one is most important. What did we come into this world with, and which one is most important? And the children will say, spirit. So if that's true, then we need to shut down the way we think, the way we feel, and the way our body are always in our body, or the challenges we face there. We have to stop our thinking, stop our feeling, stop our body issues, and sit perfectly still like Grandpa Rock. And Grandpa Rock is the oldest spirit in this world, older than all of us. So it's a good way to respect our elders is when we look at the rock, we ask people to keep their eyes on Grandpa Rock. And don't think. And every time a thought comes into your head, stop it. If you're going to have a feeling, if you have fear, lost, scared, confused, stop it. If you have an anxiety in your body, or arthritis, or owie, stop it. And keep your body still. And allow to give the respect to the spirit by shutting those three down. And when we can do that, when we can practice that, then we will understand that whatever comes from our spirit, the guidance, the strength, the calmness, the peace that comes from the spirit, when we actually experience that we can do that for ourselves without any interference from our brain or our emotions or our bodies, we will have succeeded in finding that place inside of ourselves where we have peace, pure peace and contentment.
Thank you, Dallas. Is that something you came to, or is this basically part of the whole tradition of your people?
Well, when you look around us, that the Iyas or the Tokas, the rocks, they are the oldest spirits.
Yeah.
They're like a Buddha. And that I've sat with the Buddhas, and they recharge their Buddhas whenever they go to their sits. And it made me think about what is our Buddhas.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of stories about the stones in our culture, and we use them in our lodges. We heat them up and we bring them in, and they have a medicine that comes out that helps us, purifies us. So I'm thinking of that the rock has a lot of power in helping us purify ourselves,
mm-hmm,
from those things that are distracting us from being a spirit first.
Mm-hmm.
And the more we practice it, the more we treat each other like a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
The more we see everyone as a spirit first, mm-hmm, and foremost, mm-hmm, no matter their color, religious beliefs, problems, whether rich or poor, they're a spirit first, and you treat them that way.
Yeah, no, I agree. And what's so exciting for you about having this center? I mean, why did you want to open this All Nations Gathering Center? What was the drive inside you?
Well, for me, it was 23 years ago, to be exact. I had the dream and vision of a healing center that I was supposed to open up and be doing. So I've always based all of my activities out of my home.
Uh-huh.
And then when Dallas and I got married, we moved out to the farm, and we started doing all the activities out at the farm.
Healing, center activities.
Yeah. And then through ceremony is when our interpreter, Lakshi Johnny Gibbons, is when it came through and the ancestors told us that it's going to be the All Nations Gathering Center.
But your interpreter explained what you mean? It was
it was a Uwepi, yeah. Yeah, it's like a seer, but its interpreter is one that does the ceremony and then has contact with, mm-hmm, our ancestors, and they all come in.
And they have a vision. If she had a vision.
Yeah, they all come in and speak and they talk.
Through her.
Through him.
Through him.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
she channels these,
yeah,
voices.
Yeah, they come in and they let us know that, because at first we went through Chief Eagle Healing Center, and then they said no. So we said Chief Eagle Training Center, and then it went to All Nations Training Center. And this was just us and us working as a group with everybody that was changing it over the course, mm-hmm, of years. And then ceremony, they came and said, no, All Nations Gathering Center, because what you guys are doing, and then from your dreams and your vision, because of my visions and what I wanted in there, the mentally, emotionally, culturally, mm-hmm, holistically, and Dallas's dreams and visions he wanted in there, and then with the men's and the emotional support, because we prayed for years, mm-hmm, since 2003, to have our men come in and join us to be the emotional support that we need. And then we wrap our Lakota way of life around it, mm-hmm, with the language, with the songs, with the ceremonies, so that we can teach the rites of passage for our young girls, the Ishnatis, and be supported by the fathers and the grandfathers, and then also have the men come and step forward for the Akichita societies, for the young boys' rites of passage, so that they can teach them their role and they know the protocols, because of the drugs, the alcohol, and the violence that's in our communities. That's the only way that we can get them back down, to show them and help encourage them.
And so there is a lot of drugs and alcohol out here.
Yes,
because they don't feel connected to the Lakota tradition. Why,
yeah,
do you think?
It's because of the historical trauma, because of the boarding school.
But not from this generation, for their parents.
It came from their parents and the grandparents. So there's that missing link there. And then with everything, so what we're doing is we reconnect their spirit, and that's because of the sexual abuse and the suicides.
There's lots of suicides
among
Lakota youth.
Yeah, between Rosebud Reservation and Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, even up on Cheyenne River. It's all around, really.
There are five different Lakota reservations? No,
we have seven here.
Uh-huh.
South Dakota.
In South Dakota, and then we have two more outside.
North Dakota.
Yeah. That were...
And there's been suicides out throughout all this, because the young people don't have the tradition. They've lost their tradition.
They're disconnected.
So when you bring the tradition back to the young people, they feel there's more a reason to live and to honor the old ways.
Yeah. We bring them in, we wipe them down, and we have the ceremony, and it connects their spirit and something different, something that they've been missing. It helps ground them spiritually. Mm.
But you're also opening this up to everyone, too.
Oh, yeah. That's why it says all nations.
Right. For them to learn the Lakota way and also have their own spiritual gatherings.
Yes.
And like I was saying before, it feels very much like home.
Mm-hmm.
Very comfortable.
Yeah.
I would never...
Because we're all a spirit, what they told us also in ceremonies, where every living thing has a spirit, a nagi, which is your spirit. And we all have a medicine to share with one another, because they said the relationships between one and another is what's going to help us survive, and to help one another to keep each other going.
Let me just ask, when you speak Lakota language, does that feel like a sacred language as opposed to like English? Or do you speak that conversationally too, or just in prayer, or just to each other? I mean, when is that spoken Lakota? I mean,
among the fluent elders,
uh-huh.
I'm still learning the way. Because I was one of the generations. I know the songs and the ceremonies, our prayers. But my dad is fluent.
Mm-hmm.
But my mother isn't, because my grandparents on that side, because of the Catholics and the boarding schools, they got whipped and they were traumatized.
If they spoke the language.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So they didn't share that with my mom and all her 12 siblings.
Oh, 12 siblings.
Yes. We come from big families.
Why is that? That's just their way.
So they So now, from my generation on, we are implementing that with our children and teaching, and then having those sacred ceremonies and way of life and stuff, because that's bringing it back. And plus what we grew up with when I was 9 years old. I grew up with the ceremonies when I lived with my aunts and uncles, and they were the full bloods. And then they had the ceremonies with our I don't like saying their names because they're passed on, but they're chiefs, and we're not supposed to say their name anymore.
That's okay.
But because I seen a lot of miracles when I was in their ceremonies.
These
two highly respected elders, and they were medicine men here on our Pine Ridge Reservation.
What?
So that is how I was raised.
What kind of miracles did you see?
I seen life and death miracles where people were sick. And then also now, because of my own health issues from 94 and then 2008 and then falling out in no, 2000, yeah, mm-hmm. seven. I'm a miracle too for the last 12 years.
Wow. And through ceremony?
Yes, through ceremony.
Through the Lakota Sun, through mm-hmm. Sweat Lodge and...
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah, I was in the Sweat Lodge every night, 365 days in 2007.
Every night?
Every night.
So that's a healing. That's a, yeah. That's a detox, too. So you feel different.
Yeah, because I only had 6 months to live.
And now you're looking pretty good.
Yeah.
Wow, well, and now you have a reason, a purpose. I mean, maybe yeah. you did before, but now it's like...
Yeah, well, like they said, my life wasn't my life anymore. Mm. And I was supposed to be here to help.
And you are. This has been a very beautiful gathering you guys have hosted here. And everyone felt very comfortable, very much at peace, very much like their home.
Mm-hmm.
You did a beautiful job. And I hope other people come hear this program and come yeah. and check out Retreat Center here.
Yes. And one thing I want to say since the last... couple of years now, because it was, we made the Tatanka Alliance with the Mankind Project USA 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And we moved down here to Yellow Bear Canyon, and we've been doing all these projects for the past 3 years, and it's growing beautifully. And we also made allies with the Youth Passageways. So we're working with the youth.
Mm-hmm.
And we're also networking with our youth in across the United States. And what's so great about it is we got our youth all coming in. And then we also made allies with the Golden Bridge. Mm-hmm. And they're all coming in to help our youth. And see what all those three allies do is any of our youth or our young men or our young women to empower them. If there's a conference or if there's a workshop weekend going for 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, they will pay for that individual to go to that to empower themselves and learn and expand and then come back and continue to help.
Talk about the Mankind Project. Did you bring them here? Do you bring the Mankind Project here? Well, talk about who the Mankind Project is and were they doing a retreat here on this land?
Well, they're a national and international organization, and I had a close friend of mine who came to our gathering this weekend. His name's Mushin.
Mm-hmm.
He came and stayed in our garage for about a year. We used to do circles with men. He said there's a Mankind Project that does a lot of emotional work. And I want to take some guys.
Because men aren't supposed to have emotions.
Right, right. So so we took a crew of men down to Colorado, another crew over there to Sioux City, Iowa. And we took men down to Texas and different places. And then we just start having our own groups here at the center. And we got a lot out of spending time with men who knew how to be masters at sharing their emotions.
Uh-huh.
And so, like, we have been impoverished as far, emotionally impoverished as men, and we see this all over, not only our men, but non-Indians too. Also, we're impoverished the way we think too. We're impoverished the way we take care of our bodies. And we're also impoverished because we're all those are divided up and we're not really counting on our spirit very much either. So that makes us very vulnerable to the external world out there. And that's where all these ideations and all these other addictions come from is, you know, we're trying to get something to fill that hole inside of us, or trying to put us together.
What makes kind sense. Of emotions do the men talk about? How's the process? Their feelings, how do people, I think I should do that.
Let's say you had three balls of truth in front of you, a giant ball, medium ball, small ball, and a little ball. You know, what would you like to talk about that's really been weighing you down a lot? And so... we might say, I got a hot one right now. I want to take that big ball and I want to talk about something I've been carrying around for a long time that's been really poisoning me, eating me up. It's been just weighing me down. Or maybe we want to talk about some of our fears, what we've been angry about, how we've been lost, scared, confused, lonely, isolated, how we became orphans. All those things. And then also we have, what we do is, like Becky was saying, we wrap our ceremonies around some of the processes. So like myself, probably about the biggest piece I got from the guts work was the opportunity to have my father-in-law calling my spirits of my parents, my mom and dad, on the buffalo robe, and then having a conversation with them. They're deceased, and me having a conversation with them, letting them know that I'm going to take up where they left off and finish some of their work. Now, to me, that was very, very emotional, to know that I could actually take over where my parents left off.
Like, what kind of work do you mean?
Like, both my mother and father, they came out of the boarding school experience on the Rosebud Reservation, and they're basically, their parents in the boarding school were the nuns and the priests, and there was a lot of them, so they had to fight for their belonging, you know, in a large place.
Like, but
they met each other at the boarding school, and they wanted to create a family. Uh-huh. But as far as the parenting skills, they didn't have that good of parenting skills. So now it's my opportunity to develop those parenting skills in my lifetime that they didn't they didn't learn that. You know, how to talk to my son, how to talk to my daughter, how to...
Without shaming people or making them feel guilty.
Right, or ignoring, shaming.
Right.
That
or yelling,
those are
anger, yeah.
Yeah.
Creates more problems, right?
Right.
Right, and that's the skills we need. So what I'm hearing is, like, your core value of this center is the human interaction. And around that are some of the Lakota ways that you wrap around that. So your basic intention is to serve all human beings.
Yes.
And the medicine part is with the traditions that you know and benefited from.
Once you find out how powerful your spirit is, once you find out about your humanity, and once you find out that... you have been orphaned in many ways and divided, that there is a group of people that will support you putting the Humpty Dumpty back together again. And that Humpty Dumpty is that Indian man or woman.
But you have to get over your anger about that. And how did you guys, because they did a lot of atrocities. We were just at Wounded Knee today. All these people killed for no reason, you know, just to do their ceremonies. They were killed. And that, how do you get over that anger, resentment, you know, what happened to you and your people?
Yeah. Well, some of those processes that we learned from the Mankind Project was, you know, you need to express that anger.
Right.
You have to express that shame. Right. You have to express that part of yourself that you've been hiding and denying all this time. And we have processes where men could go through that, you know. Be able to talk about your body growing up, you know. If you want to have a relationship with one another, that is where the Lakotas come in. If you want to have a relationship with your future bride, well, then it's not just a physical relationship.
Right.
It's not just an emotional relationship. It's not just a mental relationship. But most of all, it's a spiritual relationship, too, we want to use all four of those medicines in developing that relationship with another human being that we're going to spend the rest of our life with. We do not want to go out and procreate and have a child that will make things even more confusing.
Mm. Right, so there's a healing in that way.
Mm-hmm. And then also from that aspect too, you also go into ceremony with our interpreter, our medicine person, mm-hmm. and we do, it's a wiping, like a tears and everything, where we let it go and they come in and doctor us.
How do they do that? I'm not just curious.
The ancestor spirits all come in and they, you'll see them, you'll feel them, and how you say, you can see beings, the light and the orbs, and all of a sudden they're there, mm-hmm. and they turn into a real chief, a real unchi, and you can smell them. They talk and speak and touch you, and then they stick their gourds in you, you know, and they'll breathe in through your soft spot, mm-hmm. you know, and they'll let you know that everything's going to be okay. You know, they say it in the old Lakota way, the language, and then he'll translate it to you and let you know.
This sounds like what you're talking about in Mankind Project and the emotional work, also mm-hmm. a kind of new renaissance for Lakota traditions. You know, it's been kept away, and, you know, we hear about other spiritual philosophies, Hindu and Tibetan, but the knowledge here and the connection is just as deep as those other spiritual traditions. Mm-hmm. So it's a time, it feels like, for this to come forward, mm-hmm. for people to be aware of, mm-hmm. of a tradition that also connects them to spirit like this. Because mm-hmm. it's not just Lakota ways, not just for mm-hmm. Lakota people.
Yeah.
Right. Unless, well, maybe some people feel that way, that it's just for Lakota people. But it sounds like it's for everyone.
It's the all nations, yes.
All nations.
For healing, for that peace and that harmony.
Yeah, when we first experienced a Mankind Project weekend, we were going to have a training at our place, and a buffalo was traveling across the land.
A single buffalo.
A single yeah. buffalo. And right before we were going to our lodge with all these men that came together to form an alliance with the Mankind Project, this buffalo came in and just took over.
What do you mean, took over?
Took over. It's like we got the call stating, there's a buffalo head in your direction. We were about ready to go in the garage, go in the lodge, mm-hmm. and we went into the lodge. We said, well, I got this call. There's a buffalo head in our direction, and just left the facts there. We went in the lodge. We prayed, got out in the morning. It was a weekend experience. In the morning, the facilitators were going to have this training all weekend, but for some reason or another, our elder got this young man, and everybody headed mm-hmm. out towards the buffalo, and they had a ceremony, and the boy took down the buffalo. We had a ceremony, brought that buffalo back. We took all the parts of the buffalo. It took all weekend. Mm-hmm. Take the parts of the buffalo out. We get the skull here. We did this with this part of the meat. This with this part of. That's why that hides down there.
Uh-huh.
The winter count.
The winter count. We right. used that, kept the buffalo hide, put yeah. it on these amulets here, and start giving that out.
That became part of the Mankind Project. That,
yeah.
That's a real tradition.
And they named it the Tatanka Alliance mm-hmm. that came out of that.
And we signed a treaty.
And we signed a treaty.
Who'd you sign a treaty with?
Mankind Project.
Mankind
USA.
Project.
What kind of treaty you mean?
So that's where they go ahead and provide for our men, our women on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, to, if there's any trainings, workshops off of the reservation that they want to go to empower themselves and to learn that it's an expense that's taken care of for them. Because our people, we don't have the $600 or $700, $800, $900 or $1,000 to go to a workshop or a training for a 3 or 4 or 5 day weekend. We don't have that. That's barely what.
So you invited them into the land. Their part of the deal was to provide free training.
To offer that back and to support.
That's a nice treaty.
The beauty of it is
for 7 generations
for the last 7 generations.
Wow.
Yeah.
We have never had allies since the greasy grass Custer. The last time we had allies was with the Cheyenne, Arapaho, Blackfeet, Lakota, and we defeated Custer. That was the last time we had allies. Mm. And that's been over 150 years ago.
After that, it was all broken up, huh?
Yeah. And since then, we haven't had any allies until Mankind Project came in. And when we checked them out, they were trying not to make us anything that we weren't.
Yeah. Right.
They wanted us to be who we are.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Somebody actually wants to come into the reservation and support who we are and not make us something that we're not.
Mm.
And there was a lot of religious groups and the government groups, a lot of education groups that came in that decided that, you know, we're going to help you be who we are.
Right. That's what people wanted
to
do.
And they failed.
Right.
Failed most of it. Here we got a group of men that came in and said, we want to support. We know what happened now for the last 7 generations, and
yeah.
Go ahead, babe. The next 7 generations, we want to support you and sign this treaty.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So
no, that's what happened. Beautiful. And then there was Standing Rock, right? That was another, was just happened with the pipeline that brought.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
Did that affect you guys too? Here, I mean.
Yeah, all of our relatives up there, and then also we are caretakers of the land. You know, our heart is the land, and those come down from, you know, all of our teachings.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to protect the water because water is another one of our medicines.
Right.
You know, and the soil and the air and all this oil and everything's going to contaminate. Look at everything, what's happening now in the world. You know, all this contamination and everything. And it's horrible.
Right. But a lot of the people came together, right, and signed treaties to protect that together in unity. Was that a new treaty for you guys? That these different groups were coming together, all standing up for the rights of the earth?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes.
Tell me about that a little bit.
Well, this particular treaty was to help us to become strengthened, supported to strengthen ourselves, to reinvigorate, to restore, to create something that was designed to serve the people that are alive today. Mm-hmm. And so what we get together with our interpreters and our elders to talk about what is it that we need to do today to cause greater balance and harmony.
And everything is spirit driven. That's one of the unique things. Everything
How do you know
is
it's spirit driven? How do you know what is spirit driven?
Because we do go into ceremony and we ask, so it is spirit driven, and it comes from a place of spirit. And then you also know, you just don't make a quick decision,
right.
You know, like Brother Larry says, we, you know, like a quick decision just like that, but no, we're going to sit and wait, and then we're going to also go in ceremony and find out and pray about it, and then we'll come back with the answer.
Right. Dallas is getting tired.
It's like when we ask a child, you know, go out and ask an adult how they are take care of their spirit. Ask the adult, is their spirit special? How do you know your spirit is special? If they can tell you, then they probably you probably can trust them.
And if they can't tell
if they can't tell you, then you, know,
you don't want to trust them, right?
You might be doomed. I don't know.
No, it's true. That's a good test for anyone.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Yeah, how do you take care of your spirit?
That's good. Me, personally, I go to a quiet place at night and just fall asleep and just tune into a kind of inner home inside myself and feel my connection to something else beyond what was happening during the day. I feel like the spirit then can be regenerated, you know, refreshed.
Yeah.
So that's how I do it. How do you take care of your spirit?
First thing, I wake up in the morning, I say a prayer, and I azalea, which is smudging with the sage or cedar, and then the water, say a prayer, and then get ready for work or whatever we have throughout that day.
She's so persistent about that every day. That's what I love about her, because I get to get in on that.
What are you persistent in? Just the smudging?
The smudging, everything calm. I have all my, you know, all my sacreds around me, even in my office at work. And when I even go to work, I'll azalea the whole office and all my coworkers that want it.
There's problems.
And there's problems. I calm the individual down and then tell I can get them down to really calm themselves. And then I talk to them, you know, and then I let them know I'm there to listen and hear. So then they'll, and by the time they leave, they feel so much better because they weren't listened to. They weren't heard. And then I finally heard. And then we get the solution to why they came in the first place. But then I give them some little coping mechanisms to help them too. And then I invite them over here so that they know, and they're going to also learn as they come here too, how to have that, because they're like, geez, I didn't know how you did that, but you managed. And the other great thing I wanted to touch on was with the All Nations Gathering Center is that through ceremony, and this is going to be seven generations and beyond, that my husband and I were putting this into a foundation. So it's
trust.
It's trust. So it's going to be going for centuries and generations down.
This land and this center's in a trust.
Yeah.
We'll and build
a... We also have the age brackets for the board, for our members, so that everyone that comes in knows from the baby all the way to our eldest to 90. Right now is 90.
After 90, you're on your own, right?
90. But, and then they're in four. There's ages of four in each age bracket. And they're coming and they're learning and sharing. So if anything happens to anyone, then they bring in a new one on that age bracket. So that it continues to keep
going. The age brackets have to do with what? The caretakers of this?
Just to know the future generations for the seven generations and beyond, so that the work continues to get shared.
So it's a nonprofit, 501c3.
It's a nonprofit.
And people can come here and rent it, right? And be part of it.
Yeah, they can rent and be part of it and everything. And we got a lot of projects going. We have the Kenyan Walks, we have the amphitheater, we have the lodge being made, we have cabins that are being made, and they're going to be working on site. We have also the gardens, because then through ceremony also they told us, and this was already before everything started happening with floods and all of that, they said, make sure you make the gardens, do the height, you know, everything from the gardens. Show those young ones about the soil, the water, the land, but also about butchering the animals, taking care of animals, drying things, but also they said mechanically too. Teach those young ones about mechanics. And then the old McDonald farm to keep everything going. But also we said possibly a zip line or a skywalk.
No zip line.
No zip line. Okay.
A skywalk would be nice.
For trust.
On this beautiful land above the ridge there.
Yes.
No, it's yeah. So people, what should I give out this number here?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, to call the All Nations Gathering Center to find out about doing a retreat here, because lots of people want beautiful places to do a retreat at and learn about different indigenous ways. It's 605-455-1805 here in Kyle, South Dakota, about an hour and a half from Rapid City, South Dakota.
And 30 minutes away from the beautiful Badlands.
Oh, yeah, the Badlands are beautiful.
And we're only 40 minutes away from the Wounded Knee.
Right. So, yes. And we're here on the Pine Ridge Reservation. This is one of the...
Yes, this is Yellow Bear Canyon.
Yellow Bear Canyon is the location, you mean?
Yes.
And how many people would you say live around here? How many Lakotas are there left?
About 40,000.
In all the reservations?
Oh, in all the reservations. Oh, Dallas.
No, it's probably about
There's more.
40,000 on Pine Ridge, you think?
Yeah, around 40, they say, but, you know, I know there's more than that.
It's spread out a lot. Yeah. It's like the size of Connecticut, isn't it? Pine Ridge or...
Yeah, because the census isn't accurate. They're trying to say our census is really low, but we know our relatives here.
So... Yeah. It's okay. Dallas looks a little tired. He's been working hard all weekend trying to keep people happy, and you guys did a great job. Really nice.
Yeah. Dallas is a hoop dancer. So
I saw his hoop dancing. That's pretty amazing how you lift up those hoops with your feet and then make these very complex geometric designs as you're dancing.
Yes.
I mean, it reminded me of crop circles. They're so complex and intricate.
Yeah.
No, it was great to watch that, and the hoop dancing puts you into a state of consciousness. A lot of work.
Yeah, how you take care of your own spirit, your own hoop, will determine how you dance with all the other spirits in your lifetime.
Well, the hoop is the as a symbol of what? The a gathering? What is a hoop a symbol of?
Well, the circle of life is really the horizon line. If you follow it around between the earth and the sky, if you follow the horizon line all the way around, you're right in the middle of that hoop. Right. When you look out there, you've seen this balance between the earth, Mother Earth, and Father Sky, that you know you need
security.
Well, security, but you need that energy from both your mother and your father.
Half
the population in the world is male, the other half is female.
Right.
And that's how we created our societies a long time ago. And in our culture, it wasn't like the Democrats and Republicans.
Right.
It was like, you know, if you've got to make important decisions, well, run it through the women's societies and run it through the men's societies and find a consensus in there between the two. And there you got all the people making the decisions, making an important decision. You have all the girls and the moms and the grandmas and the aunties on one
matriarchal
side, and all the men and the grandpas and the boys and the uncles on the other side. And so all decisions were made that way. So, you know, the men couldn't do all their monkey business like we got going now in a patriarchal society. Yeah.
So it's a matriarchal society, Lakota.
Yes.
The women were the ultimate decision makers.
Yes.
The men would just follow the rules, right?
Yeah. And they didn't, and the women never did sign those treaties.
Yes.
With the United States government. And the men from the government and our men, they made those treaties and they never kept one of them.
But do you feel like now is the time, it seems to me, where you guys are coming back?
The women.
The women, but you know, the Lakotas, like as a force.
Yes.
It feels that way. Yes. Like just the whole Standing Rock conflict brought so much attention to this area to kind of revitalize what has been kept secret and repressed and, you know, put away, and now it can come forward. So I'm happy to be here at this time to witness this beautiful flower emerging, blossoming.
Yeah. We had a great weekend, too, with all the people here talking about spirits UFOs and all the people that came together for this gathering. It was so beautiful because we get to see people from around the world doing some having really good discussions about how we can mature and advance our relationships into a more mature level.
Right. Yes. And we need that level if we're going to meet the space people, the sky people coming here. The star people. Because they are... Mm-hmm. We saw something over the... right, what was it?
Sundance.
The Sundance. Yes, we saw it over the sun. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
We saw a ship. It looked like a little... It looked like a balloon, but it wasn't moving anywhere. It was definitely... Something was watching all the Sundance there. And so that was kind of a gift. That was a blessing.
Yeah, that was a medicine.
A medicine, yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Alan Steinfeld, from the All Nations Gathering Center here in Kyle. We're in Kyle?
South Dakota.
Kyle, South Dakota. I've never been to South Dakota before.
On the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation.
On the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation, right near Wounded Knee, where... Yeah. I remember that book, I Buried My Heart at Wounded Knee.
Yeah.
That told the real story of the atrocities. Mm-hmm. And hopefully this can be finished over.
Yes.
A new time. We'll let go of the past and move forward into a new future.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Thank you much.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And, you have a website here?
Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. It's the allnationsgatheringcenter.org.
Okay, allnationsgatheringcenter.org. If you want to reach me, I'm at newrealities.com.
They looked around and were so depleted of energy, they knew that if they tried to find their own way out, they would surely get lost and perish. Instead, they followed the buffalo up and out of Wind Cave, because they knew that it was smarter than they were. Through this relationship, the two-legged learned to love the four-legged like he was their own brother, sister, mother, or father. Since that time, the Lakota follow the buffalo everywhere it made its migration. In return, and through a star, the white buffalo calf woman brought the sacred pipe to the Lakota. they raced around the Black Hills. Many died, leaving a trail of flesh and blood. The four-legged had issued a challenge. To the winner would go the honor of keeping the laws of the land. Because of the magpie, the two-legged made a promise to the four-legged and all of creation that we would take care of the earth and her laws appropriately and diligently. To show this promise, the eagle feather becomes our charge. With it, we stand before other nations as keepers of the truth. As a man of creation, we are subject to its many beauties and wonder, one of which is disease of the mind, such as lying, cheating, stealing. This ichthyomi is to be aware. Keep your family strong in prayer.